Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Hodgins, the fullback, lines up in the left slot on the left wing. And in motion to the near side right comes Bruce. And Warner goes back to throw. And here's the pledge by Mike Vrabel. The pass is intercepted. Picked off by Ty Law. 30, 25, 20, 15, touchback. Touchdown. Ty Law picks it off and takes it to the house. And the Patriots take the lead with 8:49 to go in the first half.
A nice way to start the day, no? Rather positive way to start out on this Wednesday, hump day. Solak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe. McTakey out from behind the glass today. How's that feel? That must feel better.
Feels very good.
Feels appropriate.
Spend 4 hours of Tom. I mean, really, combat pay.
Well, just know that, and I haven't checked on this, but it's almost certain that the feeling is mutual. Because Tom doesn't like anybody.
Yeah. Including us.
Very certain the feeling is mutual.
Right.
Love you, bud.
So, everybody knows that now.
Yeah, we're all good.
That's Ty Law making one of his many great Patriot plays. He's going to be going into the Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks away now.
Yeah.
Canton, Ohio. Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
Pretty exciting stuff. He did a podcast on ESPN and talked about going into the Hall of Fame. And it feels like he may have waited a little bit of time to go into the Hall of Fame. Maybe a couple extra years. Maybe. I mean, it's no easy thing getting into the Hall of Fame.
No.
Any Hall of Fame.
No.
There are first ballot guys, and there are guys who are second or third ballot guys. There's no shame in that.
I don't think
none.
There's...
None. Okay. You're going into the Hall of Fame.
Right. And if you're not a first ballot guy, I mean, unless you are made to wait a truly inordinate amount of time, I don't think it matters when you go in after that.
And there's a cap.
Yes.
Baseball, yeah, they'll put in 12 guys if they feel like it.
Yes.
Right?
But there are a finite number of people they will put in into Canton each year.
So Ty Law is going in this year. He was put in. And in my opinion, he has always been the next, like, clear-cut Hall of Fame guy after Tom Brady of this Patriots era, where there's just really not, to me at least, and this is just one man's opinion, and I think there are plenty of Patriots fans that probably share this opinion, after Tom Brady, who's the guy that you look at and say, well, there's the least amount of discussion on this player getting in? I've always thought it was Ty Law.
I think it's Rob Gronkowski.
Well, sorry. I should clarify.
Different era.
Prior to Rob Gronkowski and you know, for the last decade, talking about this.
Okay.
If you went back 10 years after the Patriots had already won 3 Super Bowls.
Okay. Yeah, right? Ty Law.
Of the already established, it's crazy to think of how long this period has gone on. But the discussion, we've been having this discussion for a decade now.
Vinatieri.
Also a guy that I think belongs.
Yes.
But in terms of guys who aren't kickers, got to put another qualifier, I guess.
Like Kevin Zoe here. No, just talk about football players.
I don't know. When this discussion has always come up, I'm always like, oh, Ty Law's the next guy on that
list. Oh, Vinatieri's a football player.
He's a lock. Ty Law's always been a lock for me.
Okay.
And so I'm glad he got in. I think most people are. He deserves it. He deserves to be in. And so, I don't know, maybe he did wait a couple of extra years. I don't know. He got in. And he got in a reasonable amount of time. But he talked about how much time he waited to get in on this podcast, and he has a reason for why he felt he may have waited a couple extra years to get in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe he waited like a couple extra years, but I always figured in my mind.
Is he an across the board first ballot Hall of Fame player?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
But should he have been? Did they get it wrong by not getting him in on his first eligibility?
I don't think so.
No.
No, I don't think that's worthy of a criticism. No.
Had he gotten in? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
He didn't get in? Yeah, I can see that. Okay. Fine. He's upset because, well, I don't know if we have the audio.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Let's play that.
Okay. Because it's, I've only read it, so I haven't heard.
All right, you read the quotes. Here are the quotes. Let's hear the tonality of it.
Tonality is important for
this.
Right?
Let's hear it.
When did you realize during the course of your career, a lengthy career, that, boy, this is happening. This is going to go the way I want.
It was weird. You know, you look at the numbers, mm-hmm. and, of course, yes, I had the numbers, and you look at the championships, yes, but for whatever reason, and I think it's still like that, you know, today, as much winning as we're continuing to do, it's like we're looked at as a team, you know, and that's it. It's like there's no other players worthy of that, you know, at least from the media perspective when it comes to the Patriots. You know what I mean? It's Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, everybody else. I didn't know, you know, what people thought about me and the rest of us. You know what I mean? And it's not because you pretty much know, I mean, Tom Brady, greatest of all time. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about that. No question about Coach Belichick. You know what I mean? And then when you just hear about how our team is, it was like, you know, to me, we got a hell of a lot of players on there that can play. We can't do it by just two guys. But I think we were molded like this through perception in the media that there was probably no other, you know, Hall of Fame players outside of that, which was, now we know, is totally wrong. And I think that I should be the first of a few more.
It reads worse than I think it sounds. What do you think?
Yeah, it reads as though, here's how I read it, that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time and Coach Belichick, but, you know, they're not that great. It's not like they could have done it without us, you know. To hear him say it, he's saying, no, they're so great, but people looked at them, you know, in a vacuum and just figured that the other parts were interchangeable. And Beadle, I'm not sure he's wrong. He's still a Hall of Fame player, but the fact that they have continued to win through, I would say, three solid eras, three different eras of having different offensive weapons and defensive weapons and other, you know, surrounding cast mates and team members, that kind of proves the point that he's arguing against. It's like, you know what? Belichick and Brady are so good that maybe the other players that they surround you with, it's not as important then, and they don't have to be Hall of Fame caliber players in order for them to win. And that's why this discussion gets really heated sometimes when you talk about certain players, whether it's Julian Edelman, whether it's Wes Welker, whether it's, you know, any number of the receivers, or especially the defensive players who played under Belichick in those first few years. Like, well, but he's done it now. He's done it with so many different versions of this defense. It wasn't, you know, it's not the steel curtain. You know, it's not like the four horsemen. It's not just any one group of players. It's the coach and the quarterback, and they've done it and been to Super Bowls in three different eras. They've won in two of those eras. And how do you reasonably make the argument that it's, oh, it wasn't just those two guys. It's all the guys they had playing with them.
It's taken too long for some of these guys to get in. I mean, the Patriots were essentially 20 years into this run, and Law is basically the first guy. I mean, I know Randy Moss is in the Hall of Fame, but he got to the Hall of Fame, you know, with his career in Minnesota first. Sure. And foremost, Law is essentially the first guy from this era to go into the Hall of Fame. Now, I know Vinatieri's still playing. I know Brady's still playing. But if you look at, you know, the other dynasty teams, they're much better represented in Canton. And maybe that changes over the next 10 years, and it should change over the next 10 years. But I agree with him. He's got a point. Like, it's taken too long for some of these guys to get in there. So Richard Seymour should be in, too.
It took him 5 years to get in.
That's too long.
It took him 5 years to get in. And so it took him a few extra years. And
three seems more reasonable.
Right. So that's why I said it may have taken him a couple extra years. It felt like it took 2 years too long.
I remember having the conversation, and I remember, like, every week leading up to it.
I remember when Brian Dawkins got in. that, listen, Brian Dawkins was a really good player, but I thought, okay, if you're going to start putting guys in from the secondary and guys like Brian Dawkins are getting in ahead of Ty Law,
yeah,
I thought that was a mistake on the part of the voters with the Hall of Fame. And not to say that Brian Dawkins isn't worthy, that's a separate discussion. But when you're now passing over Ty Law for Brian Dawkins, I thought that was wrong when they did that. So did he wait a couple of years too long? Yes. Is there any shame in him having, to wait this long? No, there's not. But was the reason for his wait that it was that the players are not getting enough credit because of Brady and Belichick? I did not think that was the reason why. My feeling was, and again, who knows? I don't know what the reason was. I don't know if anyone knows what the reason is. My feeling was is that enough people weren't paying attention to the years of Ty Law prior to the Patriots being any good or being on a grand stage. Not any good. That's too strong. Being on the grand stage of winning. Being, the Brady Belichick to the Super Bowl of 36, 38, 39 when Ty Law became much more well-known than he was prior to that. And he was known prior to that. He was a Pro Bowler prior to that, all of that. But he was an All-Pro prior to that. But maybe that was sort of people thinking, oh, yeah, he had a few good years there when he was really an impact guy when they were winning. No, he was really good before that, and maybe he was overlooked during those years. Maybe that was part of it. That's what I sort of thought it was. Like, they forgot all those years from the time he was drafted until the Patriots won a Super Bowl. Maybe that was forgotten in there. The Pete Carroll years got forgotten for Ty Law. Maybe that's what happened for him.
It's difficult to gain perspective as we sit here and talk about it, but the reason why I don't give him a pass, Beetle, is you've got a room full of football guys deciding this each and every year, and they know everything. A bunch of guys who don't forget about plays or games or seasons. And if someone does, there's someone there to remind them. And there's someone arguing on behalf of each and every one of these players that they consider. So when you say like, oh, maybe they forgot about it. Yeah, maybe they did leading up to that meeting when they get in the smoke-filled room and they've got the Chinese takeout containers crushed on the table and they're arguing about this for 7 hours. But all that stuff gets brought up. Everything comes to the surface when they're making those decisions. And for whatever reason, the first ballot, fine. All right, he didn't get in the first ballot. Second ballot, oh, no. Second time around, third time around, no. Fourth time around, no. He's got a legit issue with how long it took. Now, he's still in, and I don't think he's upset about it.
No, he doesn't sound upset about it.
He's not upset, but, why did it take so long? Well, I think it's because people are still, even in these smoke-filled rooms with these guys who know football, they're still, for some reason, operating under the impression that Brady and Belichick can do this alone. Or at least do it with just about anybody else that you plug into these positions, because they've done it in different eras like that. It's tough to argue against, because they have. They don't do it with just a couple of other Hall of Fame players and, oh, you didn't have Ty Law when you got into the late 2010s. You weren't able to go back to the Super Bowl, much less win one. Nope, that's not the case.
617-779-0985. What this means for Patriots going forward, and that point that you made, Matt McCarthy, about other dynasty-type teams and the number of guys that they get in. I don't know that that's going to hold up for these Patriot teams, that they're going to get the same number of guys in. I just don't know if it's going to happen for them. We'll talk about that coming up with your phone calls. Patriots sending one of their own to the Hall of Fame in just a few weeks. Ty Law will go in. Why did he wait so long? Why did it take 5 years? Is it because there's an assumption that Brady and Belichick are great and everyone else is just a complimentary piece? We're talking about that with you coming up next.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Ty Law going to the Hall of Fame. Let's get to your calls on this. After Ty Law had some comments, I don't think he's upset at all, as you said, Hardy. He doesn't sound at all upset.
No.
He was just talking about it, and when asked about what he thought his chances were and if he thought it was going to be a real possibility, he said he had some concerns about whether or not he'd be able to get in based on all the credit the Patriots get and all the credit that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady get for the Patriots' success. Let's go to Adam, who's in Lowell. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Beto, I think you nailed that. Not taking away from Brian Dawkins because he's definitely a Hall of Famer, but how do you put him in before Ty Law? How do you put him in before Ty Law? And I think I know the answer. I think it's because he had that stupid crawling dance celebration. And also, I hope this isn't true, but I think the Hall of Fame gets credence to like, oh, hey, the Eagles won the Super Bowl this year, so let's put one of their guys in. And I think that's just stupid. And Willie McGinnis also, if he's not in yet, he needs to go soon. Thanks, guys.
All right. And Dawkins was long gone as a player from the Eagles by the time they got to the Super Bowl. I think he was working for them, though, when that happened. And he got voted in before the actual game when he got in.
Yeah.
So their Super Bowl win didn't have anything to do with that. Rob is in Methuen on Brian Dawkins, though. Rob, I don't know how Brian Dawkins fired people up. Yes?
Oh, yeah. I definitely got fired up with that one. Brian Dawkins was the heart and soul of that team. He was a leader.
So what? That doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame.
Have you seen the plays that he made?
Yeah, I still think he's worthy.
He was the nasty. He was not dirty, but he was nasty. He was one of the best players I have ever seen on the Eagles. He played for a team that stunk. Ty Law played for a team that was always good.
That doesn't matter,
Dawkins
though.
Who's a better player?
Who's a better player?
Dawkins was a better
player. No, he wasn't.
Give me a break.
Brian Dawkins, listen, I don't have a problem with Brian Dawkins being in the Hall of Fame. Ty Law was a better player. Don't tell me Brian Dawkins was a better football player than Ty Law. He wasn't. I watched both of their careers. I like Brian Dawkins a lot. A lot to like about that player. I would love to have seen Brian Dawkins play for the Patriots. He was a great player. Absolutely. Not saying he wasn't deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. But if I had a choice between Ty Law or Brian Dawkins on my team, and I had to draft one or the other, it's Ty Law 100 out of 100 times. You'd be crazy to go the other way. Heart and soul on a bad team. If that's what gets you into the Hall of Fame, then I don't even care to talk about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is stupid. And this is about who's the best, who's the most talented,
right?
Who is out there to compete and be the best out there.
And who is the most impactful.
Heart and soul.
And a lot of that...
Who's the Wolverine?
A lot of that...
Get out of here.
A lot of goes into deciding how impactful a player is. And part of it is like longevity in the league. Those guys are like neck and neck.
I mean, Brian Dawkins had like a million Pro Bowls and a million All Pros because the media loved him.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys.
He played for 16 years.
So his resume looks way better than Ty Law's.
On two teams, right?
Way better.
So people got used to seeing him with the Eagles and then with Denver.
His personality.
And he's a personality. Now, Ty Law played 15 years, but between the Patriots, Jets, Chiefs, went back to the Jets.
Played for the Broncos.
And the Broncos. Yeah.
Didn't Dawkins play on good Eagles teams, too?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
To say he played on crappy Eagles teams, I mean, he played on those early 2000s Eagles teams.
About?
Yes.
Didn't they go to like four NFC title games in a row?
Yeah, and they went to five in like 7 or 8 years.
Thank you.
The Andy Reid Eagles were really good. I mean, they never won a Super Bowl, but they were really good.
He was on good teams.
He was a good player on a good team for a long time.
Yes.
I was able
to rack up quite a resume that was made it easier for him to get into Hall of Fame, which is why.
And I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, just not ahead of Ty Law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Because if you're watching with your eyes and not going based on the media voted accolades he stacked up during his career, which are the All Pro votes, the AP All Pro, which he had a bunch of. I'll tell you how many he had right now. Give me a second. He probably had 4 or 5. Then we're having a different discussion.
Was he significantly better than Rodney Harrison, though?
He had 5. He had 5 first-team All-Pros.
Oof.
2001, 2002, 2004, 2006, and 2009. How old was he in 2009 when he was a first-team All-Pro guy?
He was
to go back and watch
36
that tape.
36 years old.
He was a first-team All-Pro guy. They couldn't have found a better safety in 2009. You've got to be kidding me with that. You're telling me that's not an inflated resume because people liked Brian Dawkins? We've talked to him. We had him on the show before. He's a fabulous guy. Awesome guy. That's why. You think that doesn't factor in? You think those football writers are any different from the baseball guys? Nope.
Even more so, to be honest.
Oh, McTakey with a shot at the football writers.
Peter Kings of the world.
Oh, Brian Dawkins is a terrific guy. He's a tremendous guy. Does a lot for charity.
But that's it. You know, and this gets back to any Hall of Fame discussion. It is not a hall of statistics. It's not a hall of, you know, your 40-yard times. It's not a hall of tackles. It is a Hall of Fame.
And by the way.
And really, you know, interchange fame with popularity, likability, and impact in and around the game. Right?
These guys held Terrell Owens out of the Hall of Fame for, what, 3 or 4 years, these clowns.
Because they didn't like him. Out of spite.
Because they didn't like him.
Out of spite.
It's not
one
quite
of
a Hall of Popularity.
Top 5 receivers to ever play the game.
Right.
But they did it out of spite.
Top 3 in literally every single category.
Correct. In every major statistic.
But this is what gets really frustrating about any Hall of Fame discussion. It's not a hall of any kind of accomplishment. It's more of a Hall of Popularity than it is a Hall of Fame, and how popular you are with the guys deciding. You know, how much they like you. A Hall of Likeability. You like his game. You like his personality. You like what he did on and off the field. This is where it gets difficult. But back to Ty Law's original assessment, do you think there's any credence to that, Beadle? That Patriots players have a tougher time and are going to continue to have a tougher time getting into the Hall of Fame because of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and writers just instinctively looking at the Patriots for the last 20 years and saying, oh, it's Brady and Belichick, and everybody else is, you know, kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, I think partially that is, but I also think that they haven't had a ton of guys who have had, they've had a handful of guys who've had the long, lengthy type of careers that have spanned the success, or at least I would say the two chapters of it, if that's fair, okay? And that's really what it is. It's like chapter one, chapter two. And some of those guys are borderline candidates. And I think that if they are borderline, I think their chances will be hurt by the success of the team. Yeah, I think it will. And for all the other reasons that people just don't like the team. I think that'll factor in. As much as you would say the success would hurt the team or would hurt the players and their individual chances, why wouldn't anything else hurt them? Why wouldn't the general dislike of the franchise
just
impact them?
Right, the human element. These guys sitting in a room and saying, God, enough about the Patriots. I don't want to hear...
Why would a writer from another town just say, I effing hate the Patriots. I'm not voting for this guy.
Right.
I'm not voting for him.
Right. Like they or any of their players need any more accolades.
Yeah, no, I'm not voting for him.
Right.
I don't like the Pats. How does that not factor in?
Well, it does factor in, but they don't. They almost certainly don't phrase it that way. They just talk about Brian Dawkins.
Oh, they'll disguise it as the success of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. He played on a lot of really, really good teams, and I think his play was inflated as a result.
Well, they disguise it as
deep down they're saying
propping up other players who they know probably deep in their hearts are not as good as some of the players like Ty Law or other players that'll be coming up over the course of a few years, but they'll disguise it as, no, these other guys are really good too, and you know, just because they didn't win all these Super Bowls. Well, that's part of it.
They'll
these
say guys things like, Brian Dawkins played on a bunch of bad teams, even though he didn't. That's what they'll say. They'll say things like that. Played on terrible teams. We got to get the guys who played on terrible teams into this Hall of Fame. That's what's important here. Not the guys who, we don't need to put Patriots in. They have Super Bowl rings to make them happy. They don't need to be in the Hall of Fame.
That's the human element that factors into these discussions. Of course it does.
I mean, who are those guys, though? Who are some of those guys that are, you know, Richard Seymour is someone you mentioned earlier. I don't think Richard Seymour is going to get in. I don't think he is.
I think that's ridiculous because in his prime, he was as dominant as a defensive lineman in the game. And I think he's hurt by the Patriots thing because he's a great player in a long line of great Patriots players. And he's going to get lumped in with the rest of them unfairly.
I think he's underappreciated here in New England. Never mind across the league.
I couldn't agree
more.
He's
underappreciated here.
Does any of this, though, at the end of the day, bother you as a Patriots fan? Are you bothered by the fact that it took them so long to get Ty Law in, and it may take longer than
I'd be bothered. I'd be bothered if Ty Law didn't get in.
I'd be bothered.
And now that he's in, it's over. But there's nobody else that I look at of the last two decades with the Patriots that if they don't get in, that I would be bothered by outside of Brady and Vinatieri, the two other guys we talked about.
Gronkowski.
Oh, Gronk. Yeah, he's a lock, though. I think. Sorry. I don't know why I keep forgetting him.
I think so, too.
And it's a brain. I don't know.
And when it's all said and done, I don't care.
So, Brady, Gronkowski, Vinatieri, the three guys that have had Patriots uniforms.
Right.
Those three guys all deserve to be in, and I believe will be in. And outside of those three, I would not be bothered by anyone else not getting in.
Right. But Patriots fans who are bothered by it, get over yourself. Why don't you just be happy with the 20 years of unparalleled dominance in this league and your Super Bowls and the fact that you got to witness and go to games and root for the greatest coach-quarterback combination of all time and be happy with that. Don't cry about taking too long to get guys into the Hall of Fame. If Ty Law has thoughts about it, as long as those other guys get in, fine, good. Anyone else who bitches about it, though, and complains about it as a Patriots fan, you're doing unnecessary whining. It's totally unnecessary.
Hardy has spoken.
I'm not saying it's you.
Unnecessary whining.
But you know how certain Patriots fans get.
I'm sorry.
You know how... Beetle.
Sorry I was whining. Sorry I was whining. Sorry to bring it up.
I was looking at you.
Sorry to bring it up. Sorry. I'll talk about something else.
I'm going to sit next to you again.
No! No! Tom Brady's contract, still not done. Still no contract to be signed, I guess, that we know of.
Well, wait a second. I thought they couldn't do it until August. I thought you had to wait a year from your last restructure.
Okay, can they be talking about it yet? Can they talk?
I don't know that they have to wait a year.
Training camp opens in 2 weeks.
I've read about it. I've heard about it. I heard Felger talking about it yesterday, and I thought to myself, oh, yeah. What was that stuff about it having to wait a year? And then other people saying, no, you don't have to wait a year. You can do this, that, and the other thing. Hadn't happened yet, as far as we know.
I want to tell you about a story I saw yesterday online that mentioned this. We'll tell you about that and get more of your calls. The Hall of Fame discussion, of course, in the mix today. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game was last night, so we're spending the day talking football. That's what we're doing.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, this year is the most important one, and that's the one that I'm focused on. So I hope there's a lot of football beyond this, but it's a contact sport. I've said that for a long time, too. And I don't think you could take those things for granted. I try to work hard to put my body in the best position possible to, you know, withstand the hits and so forth, make all the throws. And, you know, I feel like I'm in a good place right now.
Do you think about the contract, or is that something that works out and always has?
Yeah, I don't think about it too much, so...
Would you prefer not to be in a walk here when the year starts, or does it matter to you?
I think those things work themselves out, so...
Have there been negotiations, though?
That's none of your business.
Hey, Tom, could you talk about
I've never really realized I never really talked about my contract or anything like that, so I don't really want to start doing that now.
Tom Brady from minicamp back in June. How are we supposed to not talk about what's happening outside right now? Tell me that, Hardy.
All right, so we'll talk about it for a moment.
Can we send Cam out there?
Cam, okay. Here's what I saw.
Yeah, you've got shoes on, Cam, so that's a start.
Walking down the hallway, looked out in the parking lot, there was a woman dancing in the parking lot of the WB TV station?
Yeah, Channel 56.
Channel 56.
Long time ago, next door to the Sports Hub parking lot.
WLVI.
There's a woman out there in that part. The building is abandoned.
Has been for quite some time.
Haunted, right?
I believe
Don't
so.
Go in there.
Yeah.
There's a woman out there dancing. She appears to be barefoot.
She is. She is absolutely barefoot.
She could be very, very thin flip-flops. We're not sure. She's singing. She's having the time of her life. Kind of hot.
Yeah, as in it's like hot outside and the sun is bearing down on her.
I mean, she's got a nice tan from spending a lot of time outside. All I'm saying is that she's having a hell of a time out there. Singing and dancing out there in the parking lot. Tom claims to have seen her this morning at a coffee place next door.
No, me and Cam both saw her.
Oh.
Star Market this morning.
And she have shoes on?
You know, I didn't look at her shoes.
Was she outside or inside?
She was outside.
What was she doing?
What do you think she was doing?
Singing and dancing?
Absolutely.
She's singing and
dancing. Voice of an angel.
How'd she look?
There's a dead tree or large limb that has been sitting in that parking lot.
Yeah.
And she's over there pulling it around the parking lot at this moment.
How'd she look, Tom? Tom.
She looked happy.
Scale of 1 to 10. 8.
What's that drug? PCP that gives you all that strength and rage?
The angel dust.
Angel dust. Yeah. That could be a factor here.
Talking about Molly here, too.
We're talking about something going on out there right now.
See, I know you get high. I didn't know you like to get wet, ill, buck naked, germ.
I really think
angel dust.
Cam,
that's what you had.
Cam, this is an opportunity to go have a challenging interview right now.
Oh, Jesus. Don't send a kid out there. Don't.
I was always bare feet.
Just go find out what she's up to.
We know what she's up to. She's singing and dancing.
Find out her motivations.
I got to see this.
I think we should celebrate. You know what?
Right there, or this one. Go look through this curtain. It's
Yeah.
It's peeled back.
Oh, that one's already peeled back.
I already peeled this one back.
No, McTakey is a rule keeper. No, he's fine.
Already peeled back. This one's already.
He's going to go take a look. You know what, Beetle? I think we should celebrate her joie de vivre. She is just out there taking it all in and loving every minute of it. What's wrong with that? She's probably ill, so I'm not making fun of her. I'm just saying, don't send Cam up out there to harsh her mellow. You know, she's in a groove right now. Let it be.
Cam's a pretty mellow guy.
Yeah. But who knows?
Cam's like super friendly, very mellow. I think that they get along wonderfully. And you said you already met her this morning in the supermarket. Did you not?
I met might be.
You've already had a previous relationship with the parking lot dancer. You know what? Give him some sort of boombox from the street team department to go out there and just play this song.
Yeah.
Turn it up, Tom.
Just
go out there and play that as you go out there. Into the parking lot.
I tell you what.
And see what the reaction
is. She's close to both our cars. I'll give you my keys. You can just go out there and turn the music on. And just roll down the windows.
Even better.
And just start bumping it.
Even better.
Sorry to report she's in a seated position right now. The dancing is not going on. I bet she's resting.
Oh.
Resting right
now. Well, let's get her back up. Let's get her moving those feet with the music.
Tom Worcester's saying you're describing someone who is high on K2. The mountain?
K2 is that synthetic weed, isn't it?
Right. Isn't that what Chandler
mescaline,
Jones was on?
As they call it?
Is
she about to strip naked and start, you know, praying at the back door of the police station?
Show up at the Foxborough Police Department down on his
hands. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. What is she going to do?
I'm a keymaster. Are you the gatekeeper?
Tom and Worcester says mescaline, huh?
K2.
How did you notice that was going on outside? What made you look out there?
I looked out the window. I'm, you know, just enjoying the view as I was walking down the hallway, and there she was.
I can't stop thinking about that. I'm like, what the hell is this? We were going to talk about Tom Brady's contract, and now this is happening. And now we've attracted a crowd as everyone keeps walking by the studio to go look out the window.
Wow.
The whole building now making their way to this department. That's okay. Cam, you ready? Cam, where'd you go, Cam?
Cam's he's ready. Not good. He's
ready to do it. He's so ready to do it. It's been one of our best.
I think she's coming down.
Uh oh.
That could get scary.
She peaked too soon. It happens.
She's looking for a bathtub full of ice. Cam's willing to do it. I know him. One of our best interns. Best ones we've ever had.
I feel comfortable sending him out there.
617-779-0985. That Brady contract thing. Yes, we will get to that next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Only Jim say we're in our parking lot as well.
Hey, I know what you're going through. You look like me 24 hours ago.
24 minutes ago. Never mind, 24 hours ago.
See, now this isn't fun. Now Tom is in Worcester is saying, you're describing every day of my work life, but someone should bring her some water, honestly. It's dangerous. So now someone's got to take her water.
Cam.
Take her some water.
Isn't there a liability thing there?
I don't know if there's any.
For water?
For giving somebody water? The woman dancing in the abandoned parking lot next to the radio station? She's hot. Her feet are hot. She had to sit down on the grass. As Alex, the sales assistant, said, she found her beach.
Bleacher Report has this story up. Every move. The move that every NFL team should make before the season begins. And the move for the New England Patriots, extend quarterback Tom Brady.
Yep.
They're right. Unless the New England Patriots know something that we don't, namely that Tom Brady is considering retirement after the 2019 season, it would be wise for the organization to go ahead and get an extension done with its franchise quarterback. Brady is one of the best values in the NFL, as he's the 19th highest paid signal caller in terms of yearly earnings, while he deserves a raise. This isn't about doing right by Brady or about avoiding a contract standoff in 2020. Brady has never been the kind of player to put himself above the good of the franchise, but getting a deal done now would help New England assess its cap situation for next offseason. This, in turn, would give the team an idea of which players it could bring in next offseason. For a franchise that often looks to acquire veteran talent rather than drafting and developing its own, this would be a huge benefit.
Now, this has been going on for a couple of years, and just my first thoughts have to do with the last line of this little snippet here. It's not an article. It's just a couple of paragraphs. But franchise that often looks to acquire veteran talent, the reason, and I believe this, Beetle, the reason why they've been looking to acquire veteran talent in the last several years is because they always think that Tom Brady is playing in what could be his last or next to last season. So they don't have time to bring in young guys.
Correct.
And bring them along in the system and get them up to speed for a run with the quarter. No, we got to get a guy who can already do it right now because we don't have time. And who could have predicted that he would have played at this level for this long? Obviously, the Patriots didn't. Otherwise, they wouldn't have invested in Jimmy Garoppolo and kept him around for as long as they did. But now, it's obvious.
So
so now this point makes more sense than it did in hindsight, looking back 5-6 years ago. But now they're absolutely right. You got to have the veteran talent in there to get alongside Tom Brady because, of course, this isn't going to last another 10 years. He is not your quarterback, up until the year 2029. That we know that much. But it could be only a couple few more years, and you don't have time to bring along the young guys. So if this does help them assess their cap situation for next year and allows them to bring in some veteran talent, then in that regard, it makes sense now more than ever.
So 6 months ago, when we talked about this, we said, well, it would make sense for the Patriots to give themselves some more cap space to extend Brady for additional years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sort of gone. They're not going to go out and sign any free agents now. That ship has sailed. The free agency is pretty much over. The money that they would need to spend, they've spent. Right? I think. What do they need the cap space for now?
Maybe not at this moment.
Again, the Gronkowski situation could change. But right now, what's the need is what I would say. What's the pressing need to give him his contract extension right now for this season?
Is it because it's easier to do before the season starts and have it all set as you're looking? They're always looking ahead. They're always looking ahead. They're looking ahead to next offseason. Somebody in that organization is. So get it done now so you know where you stand and you can plan accordingly before this season's trade deadline, before you start working on other guys' deals. Everything else that needs to be done. Get this one thing in place because that is going to be your biggest, that's going to be your biggest check that you have to write. So get that deal done so that you now you have
I just don't know what the textbook says and what it says about 42-year-old guys, quarterbacks at 42. And I don't know what their manual says about how do we deal with contract negotiations with 42-year-old quarterbacks. You're sort of in uncharted territory, are you not? I mean, I've always assumed, yeah, you just take care of Tom Brady, you do the contract, you get it done. Well, here we are, and it's not yet being, you know, at least publicly leaked that they're discussing it. But I don't know. I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just talking about the actual, you know, legal agreement between the two in terms of determining his pay. What's the pressing need to get it done now versus doing it at the end of the season or doing it next offseason? I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's retiring. I think he'll continue playing for the Patriots, whether it gets done now or it gets done next offseason. He's not leaving. I don't think they believe that. I don't think he believes that. So if they do it now or do it later, what's the diff? Is sort of my question right now. And maybe what we just sort of assume, do we need to assume that or not?
If for no other reason, just to give them a better idea as they head into this seat, like I said, for planning ahead. It's not a team that ever looks to do something at the last minute. They always want to be two steps ahead of everybody else. And if they do it now,
okay,
they know where they stand.
And if they guarantee him a boatload of money and Tom Brady goes out and breaks down or is not the quarterback at 42 that he was at 41 or 40, are they having regrets? Are they saying we should have waited? Why did we do that?
How long
now we're locked in at not 42, but also 43
I'm with
or 44. And that's why I wonder. Listen, for me, you've already committed down this path. You don't have a choice. This is the guy you committed to, and you got to live with that choice. And there should be no regrets about that. Look at where you've already been. You just won the Super Bowl.
You're worried about what Tom Brady is going to play like that next season.
I'm not. No, not me personally. I'm just wondering if they trying to always avoid any, you know, any negatives,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to incur any risk or any bad things happening. They always want to win. Every single negotiation or every outcome, they want to win every outcome, including this one. If Tom Brady at some point sucks, do they want to be stuck holding the bag and paying the money still? The team, this team, do they want to do that?
No.
Ask yourself what you think they want to be doing. If he is not the same quarterback anymore at any point, does the team still want to be paying him a boatload of money? What do you think?
Well, of course they don't.
Most teams don't, by the way. So that doesn't make them unique.
All the more explanation as to why he's out there posting these videos right now and getting himself out there and showing that he can throw a 62-mile-an-hour tight spiral and then he's got a faster 40 time than he did at the combine and everything else. He's trying to put their mind at ease. I'm going to be fine for the next 2 years. Don't you worry about it.
There could be something to that.
Don't you worry about it.
There could be something to that. Trying to prove to somebody somewhere, look at how fast I'm running. Running a better 40 time now at 42 than I was at 22. Look at how fast I'm throwing the football at 61 miles per hour. I'm throwing it faster than Patrick Mahomes is.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just under a shade under what he's throwing it at. There are things to maybe glean from those posts
yep.
that he has had in recent weeks. He's trying to prove to somebody that there is no reason to second guess where he's at going into this season at age 42, which he will turn on August 3rd.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.